This free program is paid for by the listeners of WBAI New York. If you're not already a member, think about joining us to help keep free speech alive.
Rick saving us from the sea. Ain't you, Rick?
My house is going to be underwater in 5 years.
It's 11 a.m. in New York City, and with that music, it's time to take you to May Dooley. Good morning, May.
Good morning, Errol, and welcome to Create Your Healthy Home. It is beautiful outside, and we're going to have a good time together today. Create Your Healthy Home, if you're new to the program, is a WBAI self-help program for assisting us all to improve our indoor air and water quality, reduce electromagnetic fields, and reduce our use of fossil fuels. I am your environmental home inspector and host, May Dooley, and I'm going to start out with some announcements and then go right into our guest. There may be 2 days or 1 day left on a program from 3 months ago, HEAL, Human Ecology Action League, on how to get healthier products in your house, a network for people who have chemical sensitivities. So check that out. You go to the WBAI archive, scroll down to August 26th at 11 a.m., and you can download that program or listen right there. We have a few more in the archives I'll just mention. One is October 14th, Toolbox for Sustainable City Living and Suburban Living as well, I might add, an interview with author Scott Kellogg. That's October 14th. And then October 28th, we had part one of a program that we will be doing part two of today. And that was an interview with Dr. Richard Conrad on the subject of flicker sensitivity from electromagnetics, compact fluorescent lights, other items that give off flicker. Then the last program 2 weeks ago on the 11th of November was the Tri-State Food Not Lawns local advocacy group, and also a representative of the idea of permaculture. In fact, there was an emergency preparedness workshop that was offered about a week or two ago by the Andrew from the permaculture, and he reported that there were about 32 listeners of Create Your Healthy Home that signed up for that workshop. So that is quite amazing, and it is good to hear of your interest and to know that we do have a true network of concerned listeners. In speaking with them today, because I didn't remember whether that workshop was already passed or still in the future, and it has passed, but they did mention the Gusti did Bocock from from Tri-State Food Not Lawns. Mentioned that there is going to be a workshop and celebration, the Solstice Cacoa, the pure high-energy chocolate food, raw chocolate, celebration and workshop on that in 2 weeks, Sunday, the December 14th. So that sounds like a fun thing to do for holidays, to learn to make your own food quality treats. Anyway, I am expecting an email to come through with a hopefully with a contact phone number on that, and I'll announce that later if it does come through. Otherwise, give me a buzz, and it's going to be at the 6th Street Community Center. Maybe that's enough to tell you, 638 East 6th Street between B and C. There is an admission because the cocoa is pricey. Moving on to, before we get to the guest, one or two other announcements of upcoming programs. the end of December. I'm not sure which date it's going to be yet, I presume either the 21st or the 28th. I'm looking at October, sorry, the 23rd or the 30th. Don Brown, who was last with us a year and a half ago, he works for University of Pennsylvania, I believe, or Penn State, and is a climate control specialist in that university, and travels the world to climate change meetings, and he will be just coming back from an international meeting in Poland where there will be negotiations going on from climate change. So we will get to hear his report and an update on what's going on in that field. And shortly after that, I haven't set the date yet, but I expect it will be January, we will have a representative speak on energy audits, energy rating in your home. I just got back from a week course up in Ithaca, New York on this subject and really had my eyes opened. So I've asked my teacher to come and share with you. Before that course, if someone had asked me what's one of the most important things you can do in a house to reduce the loss of energy and conserve, make your carbon footprint smaller, well, I knew enough that replacement of windows is generally not high up on the highest areas of the list anyway. But I probably would have said something like, well, add insulation to your attic because a lot of heat rises and that's one of the best things you can do. And I learned that that was not a correct answer. It is an important thing to do, but it's not the first thing. The first thing, if case you're wondering, has to do with the attic insulation. But it's something that needs to be done before you put the insulation in. I wonder if you know what that is. I probably wouldn't have known myself. But it is to find out where the air leakage is into the attic and plug those areas up. How do you find out where the air leakages are? Well, you have an energy rating done at your house. So that's what we'll be discussing. Very important program coming up in January. So stay tuned for that. And remember, if you miss it, if you're in Australia in January or something, you can always go to the WBAI archives and check in there. Last announcement, and then we'll get cracking here, is if you didn't hear Amy Goodman's program, Democracy Now! This morning, I suggest that you listen to it. You can do that later today at democracynow.org, and there'll be some disappointments discussed in that program as Naomi Klein is interviewed and reacts to the appointment of the economic advisors to the next administration. We need to make our voices known, so do take a listen and write a letter, send an email, whatever. Okay, today we have part two of a program on electromagnetic fields and biological effects. Why are we doing part two? Well, for one thing, reason, there's so much material here, and we didn't get too far down the list in part one, and there were many calls from listeners that didn't get answered. So we did say that we would do a second program and allow more time for call-ins. So if you have questions relating to electromagnetics, the invisible energy fields that come from household wiring, from power lines, from appliances, from cell phones, from all sorts of things. Today is the day that you may have a chance to get in and ask that question after an introduction from our guest. After that, I'll give our call-in phone number out. Why are we spending time with electromagnetic fields? Well, because the body is electric. And if the body is electric, that means that electrical fields of all sorts, electromagnetic fields, which is like an umbrella term, outside the body can be interpreted by our bodies as communication. And the body responds in reaction to this communication. Is it a good communication? Is it a bad communication? Well, that's one thing that we'll be talking about today. I remember being in a meeting, must have been 20 years ago, with what was then called it's now LIPA, Long Island Electric Company, I guess it was called then, and it was a real estate meeting. And the representative from now LIPA said, well, there's no debate on whether there are biological effects. The debate is whether they're harmful or not. And one of the realtors asked him if he would personally move his house, his family living under a power line, and he said, personally, no. So there, you know, we'll be having things to talk about. But first, let me introduce our guest, Dr. Richard Conrad. Richard, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Welcome. Welcome. And I, for those who didn't hear the program a month ago, part one of this program aired on October 28th. So you can catch up with part one again by going to the WBAI archives, October 28th, scroll down to 11 a.m., and you can hear what Richard talked about 2 weeks ago. Richard is a scientist. He is does phone consultations on subjects of electromagnetic fields, of healthier homes, of chemical sensitivities to houses, et cetera. He knows a great deal from study. He knows a great deal from his own experiment, which is his body, because he is electrically sensitive. So with that, Richard, give us a summary of what you want to say, and then we'll go to the phones.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I wanted to say that technology is usually created, of course, with the intention of empowering people, with the intention of it being enabling. But unless it's designed with biological compatibility held firmly in mind, technology also turns out to be disabling to human biology very often. We have on one hand the techies, the inventors and engineers, and on the other, the biology of life. And unless the design and evolution of a technology is continuously guided by a priority of and a knowledge of human biology, that technology, though it may turn out to be enormously empowering in some ways, can also result in biological disability. And this is what's happening. Very often, the technological people aren't cognizant of even the possibility of biological effects. And they sort of feel that if, well, you can't see it, the effect, then it doesn't exist. But it often does, and it can be very, very significant. For example, back to the flicker from a few weeks ago, fluorescent lights blanket the whole Earth, and they dominate the human working environment all over the globe. People spend a good day, part of their day, in them. But there have been studies showing that the subliminal flicker from these lights actually affects the well-being, the performance, and the actual alpha waves of the EEG of people working under them. It reduces the alpha waves and decreases the accuracy of people's performance. Many people can tell that from how they feel, the people that are more sensitive to the lights. And this is flicker that you don't see. It's at higher frequencies. They've shown that flicker at much higher frequencies than the normal frequency that we can actually see something flickering at, actually does get through to the retina, and the retina sends the signals to the brain. When they measured electroretinogram responses to video displays and fluorescent lighting, which is where they take electrical measurements from the retina itself and show that even the higher frequencies do get through, and this biological system, although not consciously, is responding to fluorescent lights and video displays. And unfortunately, even the new high-efficiency compact fluorescents have never been really measured, characterized, specified, or reported in the amount of flicker they generate. And it can vary all over the place. Some of them have no flicker, some of them have a lot of flicker. And there's no regulation concerning the flicker.
And probably no way for the consumer to find out which might be low flicker or high flicker, and actually which is better, low or high.
That's right. Well, you know, which you want to have as low flicker as possible.
Okay.
And some people can actually feel it and get immediate headaches or feelings of queasiness. Some people I read an article about a husband and wife that had a continuous battle. The husband kept replacing bulbs with compact fluorescents, and the woman kept taking them out, replacing them with the old light bulbs. And she couldn't explain why.
Mm-hmm.
It just didn't feel right to her. And this isn't psychological. It is the subliminal flicker, most likely, although they also generate a lot of EMFs, unfortunately. And that's another whole consideration which is being ignored. Environmentally friendly should include biological compatibility to the human physiology and nervous system. And potentially it can, but it usually doesn't because of lack of awareness, lack of priority on the awareness of the designers and the businesses. And it can end up being unkind to human biology. And I think kindness to human biology should be part of environmentally friendly. And so far, it's not there in the awareness, because the effect on the human biology can be subliminal, affecting our, as I said before, our the amount of alpha state, which is our relaxed state, and our accuracy in our work, our happiness, just subtle effects. But overall, it's affecting billions of people all over the planet. And so these things, some inventor invents something and it's put out there, and some simple ideas have a catalytic effect of affecting everyone. It is really important to include biological compatibility.
And that is something, you know, that I don't see happening in the area of electromagnetics, as we have the green movement where indoor air quality is improved, married rightfully so with energy saving, but energy saving, of course, is compact fluorescence and, you know, so on. But no one seems to be raising a voice and saying, well, what about, the health effects of some of these energy-saving devices? And there are other things in the environment besides indoor air quality and saving energy.
Well, you lift the carpet and you sweep it underneath and you lower the carpet.
Mm-hmm.
That's what's been happening, because there's so much... people love their cell phones so much. They're addicted to them now. They don't even want to hear that they could be bad. And college students are sleeping with them under their pillow. And the cell phone companies, they might be in a little bit of the position of the cigarette companies, where they know it's bad, but they don't want to say anything about it. The cigarette companies, of course, were even much worse, because that was their primary function. But here they're trying to provide something that's convenient for people, but they're conducting a global mass experiment using the whole population of the Earth as guinea pigs.
Mm-hmm.
With the cell phones, and also even previous to that, there's an experiment which is turning out to show the importance of considering these things before we get so far ahead in technology, and that's the latest work on Alzheimer's that just came out a few weeks ago, where the whole population of Switzerland was studied in an epidemiological survey by some Swiss scientists, where they measured, they determined from, I guess, their census, the rates of death by Alzheimer's disease and other dementias, in proportion to how close people had been living for how many years next to the very high tension power line, the metal pylon type power line. And the results were that for people that lived within 160 feet of these power lines for 5 years, the rate of Alzheimer's went up 1.5 times. And the rate of Alzheimer's has been going up generally very much, so it's not insignificant, like saying, oh, if I don't use the cell phone, I'll have a chance of getting a brain tumor of 0.5%. So if I use my cell phone, it goes up to 1%. I'll take that chance. In this case, Alzheimer's has a rate of about 13% of the population over 65 die of Alzheimer's. It's a significant increase. What they found was that if people lived within 150 feet of the power lines for 10 years, the rate went up 1.8 times, and if they had lived for 15 years or more within 160 feet of the large power lines, their Alzheimer's rates of death went up two times. It doubled. Hmm. So there's a lot of internal controls in this experiment, and it's all consistent. If people lived a further away, a little further away, the rates went up, but not as high. And if they were more than 600 feet away, the rates didn't go up at all. Hmm. And it also, they found that there was no increased risk of ALS or Parkinson's disease or MS for people that lived under the power lines. It was specifically Alzheimer's and other dementias.
Interesting. Did they add in appliances or computers or cell phones with the study?
No. That was probably pretty much averaged out the same mm-hmm. for everyone. They're just looking at the increase due to the power line of Alzheimer's.
Okay, very interesting. Reminds me of again, the possible implication of this type of exposure. Years ago, there's an organization in Manhattan called FAME, for Foundation for Advancement in Innovative Medicine. In their conference, they had a researcher from Europe, Hans Nieper, speak on preventing cancer and cancer research alternative from his laboratory. And in the Q&A afterwards, someone from the audience said, well, what's the first thing that we can do for cancer prevention? And his response was was kind of undoable, but it was get rid of alternating current, change your houses to DC, direct current.
Yeah. Well, and a lot of chemicals are involved there, too, probably, causing cancer. But you asked if the contribution of computers and so forth was taken into this. No, the only thing that was looked at was the difference in the closeness of the power lines, which was an average of about 3 to 4 milligauss in these homes that were under the power lines. And that's not that high, because a lot of homes are in the milligauss range, even the ones that aren't close to the power lines but have wiring faults.
Mm-hmm.
Most homes are in the definitely... It's good to be below 0.3 milligauss. But the biggest contributors to worry about, in addition to being under high-tension power lines, are things in the home that we're living with all the time, and in the offices, such as exposures from computers. And the things that can be avoided are things like Bluetooth and Wi-Fi, in our homes at least, if we don't live in an apartment complex. These are things that are unnecessary and should be turned off and shouldn't be used. We should use cables so we don't have the radio transmissions so close to us going through the air from the Wi-Fi and the Bluetooth all the time. And the human body is a much better antenna for absorbing those frequencies, the very high frequencies in the millions of cycles and billions of cycle range of the Wi-Fi and the cell phones than it is even from the 60 cycle range from the power lines. So I think it's if people are worried about power lines now for the reason that there's really good research showing that it does increase rates of dementia, they're going to find out things are even far worse, I think, for Wi-Fi and computers. And already in France and Germany, they're not allowing them to make any new installations of Wi-Fi in libraries and public places. Hmm. The other thing to look at in homes it's very simple, is not to use your dimmer switches. Most dimmer switches are okay as long as they're left on, full brightness, but in the halfway position they produce a lot of radio frequencies which go throughout the home and are a continuous source of emissions close to you, re-radiating throughout all the house wiring. That's also what happens with the compact fluorescent lights that are plugged in, unfortunately, because they haven't looked at that side of the problem.
Okay. I'm going to just interrupt you, Richard, and give out the phone number for listeners that may have questions on the subject of electromagnetic fields. And here's someone that can answer your questions. So please call in at 212-209-2900, 212-209-2900. And go ahead, Richard.
The other things I want to quickly mention, the worst things that can be in people's homes are mosquito zappers, electronic air cleaners. The electrostatic type of air cleaners can generate EMFs. The inverters that are used with solar power systems that convert DC to AC are horrendous in the amount of EMFs they generate throughout the wiring of not just your home, but your neighbor's home. I'm going to. There's a little AM radio made by Radio Shack that if you use it on AM and set it off a main station, you can use as a little sleuth, a little cheap detector to go around your home to see sources of high frequencies. You can hear it on this little radio when you're set off of a station. And I'll give out the catalog number of that radio in a minute.
Okay, good. And also, we did a program a long time ago on Gauss meters for measuring magnetic fields, but you can get a Gauss meter for probably under $30 or in that range, which will allow you to go measure under your power lines, measure in your homes if you have a city apartment, measure and make sure that the building wiring is not running up and down a chase in an area that you're sitting or sleeping.
And even worse, where the neutrals of different branch circuits are crossed to generate high magnetic fields that don't have to be there, with a slight adjustment by an electrician spending less than an hour, he can greatly reduce magnetic fields, if you get an electrician that knows what they're doing.
Yeah, okay. Gauss meter, I'll just spell that if you want to do a search.
Just mention that just measures the low frequency, the 60-cycle stuff that you worried about, similar to the Swiss report. It doesn't measure the emissions from computers and the high frequency stuff.
Right, which is what you were talking about with this little radio set-off station.
Right.
I want to spell Gauss meter for anyone that wants to do a search on that on the internet. It's G-A-U-S-S meter, M-E-T-E-R. Okay, Gauss meter from magnetic fields. Okay.
And actually, the radio isn't handy, but I'm going to publish a little article today on my website, and it'll be under articles by R. Conrad tab on my website. It'll be something on the AM radio as a sensor.
Okay, and your website
look that
is
up. www.conradbiologic.com.
Okay, good. Thank you. All right, do we have a caller? Reggie?
Good morning.
Good morning.
Caller?
I'm sorry, Errol. I am really, I think I have a little premature Alzheimer's here myself. Here.
No, you don't. Reggie has been sitting in for me for a long time.
He
Thank
has.
You very much. And
he did a good job, too, but we missed you.
Oh, not one. Let's try another one.
Okay.
Oops. Okay, let's try this one. Good morning. You're on the air.
Yes, good morning.
Yes, welcome to Create Your Healthy Home. Please give your first name and where you're from, please. Hello?
Yes.
Okay, caller, you need to turn the radio down. This is WBAI. We're at 99.5 FM. We stream on the World Wide Web at WBAI.org. Go ahead, May. Go ahead, caller.
Is that any better?
Yes, that's better, thank you. Your first name and where you're from, please.
Yes, JC, New York City.
Okay, welcome, JC.
Good morning, May. I'd like to know about Kiva lights, full-spectrum fluorescent lights, Kiva, K-I-V-A.
Okay. Richard?
Most full-spectrum lights have more flicker. Any light that's cool white or bluish has more flicker than the warm white fluorescent lights. As far as the ballast, most of the new appliances come with a high efficiency electronic ballast, which are far worse as far as they can be better as far as flicker, but far worse as far as EMFs radiated throughout the house from them. And if you wanted, I've got a couple of articles on my website on the EMFs and flicker from fluorescent lights if you want to read them.
Okay, again, that's conradbiologic.com, the website. Okay, thank you, JC. Do we have another caller?
Whoops.
Hello, you're on with Create Your Healthy Home.
Hello, how are you?
Good, good. Your first name and where you're from, please.
Oh, my name is Harry, and I'm calling from Princeton, New Jersey.
Okay, welcome, Harry.
I'll make this quick because I'm working. I'm driving a truck. Welding. I do a lot of welding, and some of it's like TIG welding, which is high frequency, to start it, and I was just wondering about that. I'll take my answer off the air. And thank you very much. Great show, great topic. Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, the welding power supplies are probably the worst of all of the EMF emitters, even worse than the solar type DC to AC inverters. They're converting AC usually to very high power DC, or as you say, the high frequency welders. They'd both be very serious EMF emitters. And who's to say? Some people might do okay and never get sick from them, but statistically, they're not a good idea. Anyone who is electrically sensitive and can feel it immediately, as there are a small percentage of the population, gets short-term reactions such as skin burning or itching, pain in their joints or muscles, heart arrhythmias, seizure disorders, sleep disturbances. They would feel those from 50 feet away. They could be affected by something like that. But if it doesn't affect you, I guess, do you get any symptoms at all?
Oh, he's off the
he's
air.
He's off the air. Well, anyway, yeah. It's unfortunate, and so many of us are locked into what we're doing with this equipment. We weren't told that it might have a biological effect, but that's what happens when technology gets ahead of the biology. I think every engineer should be given a course in biological compatibility in college and maintain that on his shoulder like a little conscience as he works. And that would solve a lot of our problems eventually.
Yeah, if they had the power. Okay, hold on. We're just going to pause for station identification. You're listening to WBAI 99.5 FM, part of the nonprofit listener-supported Pacifica Network.
You're listening to WBAI New York, 99.5.
On November 28th, the 16th annual African Diaspora Film Festival begins with its eclectic mix of urban, classic, independent, and foreign films that depict the richness and diversity of the global black experience. You will see films from the US, Morocco, Ethiopia, Egypt, Senegal, Tunisia, Algeria, Namibia, the Congo, Kenya, Curacao, South Africa, Jamaica, Haiti, and beyond. Screenings, panels, and parties will be held throughout the city. That's the 16th Annual African Diaspora Film Festival, November 28th through December 14th. For tickets and information, please call 212-864-1760. That's 212-864-1760. Or log on to www.nyadff.org.
Welcome back. Welcome to Create Your Healthy Home. I'm Mae Dooley, and our guest today is Dr. Richard Conrad. The subject that we're talking about is electromagnetic fields and biological effects. We have given out our number for calling in, and I will just repeat that in a moment. Errol, do we have a caller on the line?
It's like Christmas time here.
Oh, all right. Hot topic. Go ahead. Okay, first caller, your first name and where you're from, please.
Hi, I think it's me.
What is that again?
Yes, Sandra.
Yes, it is Sandra. Hi, Errol. Hi,
hello.
May.
Hi,
Richard.
Sandra.
I couldn't tell I was on.
Sure.
I am the canary in Manhattan, both chemical sensitivity and the electric. I think it's good that I'm older because I might not have made it. A lot of this stuff was not around when I was a child. My husband can't use his cell phone in our apartment because it does something to my head. I feel like I'm going to die. And when I was out a couple of years ago at Bryant Park, they turned it into a ice skating arena, but outside was a giant trailer electric generator, which I didn't know what it was until I was across the street from it, and my head just started spacing out, just completely going dizzy and had to get away quickly. Through the help of May mentioning her laptop, I got one that doesn't make me ill. And I do want to point out that I cannot have a TV for the last, I don't know, 20 years, and I don't miss it. But I sure love my laptop, which is okay with a phone card. My brother said it's got less of whatever it is that makes me sick. But my question is, oh, and I still can't go in the hall because of the renovations are still outgoing as they try to make rent stabilize, go luxury, the carpeting, the vinyl walls, whatever. They're still outguessing. Is there, Richard, any safe lamp, LED lamp, that I can try? You know, is there a starting base? And I'll listen off the air. Is my question clear before I get off?
Yeah. Did you say
is
lamp?
Is there a starting base?
Yeah.
Is there, in other words, some things use less energy and whatnot, and some of those, I was thinking if it was one of those little LED desk lamps
yes,
was on
okay,
battery,
your,
it might be.
I understand your question.
Okay, I'll listen off the air.
But I think that people like you are entitled to not have to worry about that. You've got so many other things to worry about. The answer is that LEDs are not quite there yet, and when they come out, the commercial ones will probably be pulsed, generating a lot of EMF, and although they might be pulsed fast enough that the flicker won't be a problem. You could have a custom one designed that would be fine for you, yes, but we don't know yet, and it'll be a couple of years before. Well, maybe they're available now, but I don't know which one to recommend. They'd be very expensive, and some of them might be pulsed so that they have a lot of EMF. I would worry more about, you could, for yourself, I wouldn't worry and just use ordinary tungsten lamps for now. I would worry more about your computer use and have it, even your laptop could be continuously keeping your sensitivities higher. It's best to use it only on battery and not plugged in, with no wires plugged into the wall, and push it a little bit further back from you and use an external keyboard so your hands aren't right on it would be best way to use a laptop.
Okay, good information. And I'll also mention that people that have to use incandescent lights or choose to, if you get a good reflector, like even a $10 gooseneck type of reflector, at an office supply store, you could use a 30-60 watt bulb and get good light from it. You don't have to get a lamp that has a 100 watt or 150 watt bulb. Okay, do we have another caller?
Yes, hello.
Yes, your hello. First name, where are you from, please?
Peter from Brooklyn.
Welcome, Peter.
I'm a musician, and I'm using microphones all the time and electric guitars. And what's the danger there?
Microphones in what did you say, electric?
Electric guitar.
Guitar. Well, the MIDI system is quite an emitter. I had an electronic piano for a while, MIDI piano, and I loved it. But I found that when I played on it, I got what felt like immediate carpal tunnel syndrome. And I think a lot of the carpal tunnel symptoms are mimicked by people that are using their mouse right next to their, especially a CRT-type monitor, or whenever their hands are in high magnetic fields. If you have no symptoms, you're not getting short-term effects. Hopefully, is that true?
Yeah.
You don't have any symptoms?
No, I was saying I'm getting a little cramping in my right thumb. But I think it has more to do with strumming and...
Well, what I found is that you can do operations of your muscles that you can do repetitively that would be no problem. If you do them repetitively in a magnetic field, they tend to cramp up a lot easier.
So what's the answer? Can you practice on a guitar that's not an electric guitar?
Well, I practice on, acoustic guitars, but I you know, if I play 4 hours a night.
There are ways you could wire it that would be less digital and more analog. And the more analog and less digital you can do it, the better. Have all your analog close to you and the digital far away.
Very good.
Okay. Thank you, Peter. You're on WBAI. Hello, you're on WBAI. Welcome to WBAI.
Hello.
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 Yes.
Yes. I have three questions I would like the gentleman to answer, Richard.
Yeah, and what is your name?
This is Robert.
Robert.
From Yonkers.
Okay. Welcome, Robert.
The first question is, and I'll give you the questions and I hang up. The first question is, cell phones, when they're off, are they still a problem because a lot of people keep them in their pockets, et cetera? The second one is the wireless routers. Do they affect sleeping patterns and stuff? Because I have a feeling that they do, you know, because when mine is off or on, I tend to not dream, et cetera. The third one is cars. I have one of those Gauss meters that was mentioned earlier,
mm-hmm.
and I have detected very high electric, either one of them, electric or magnetic field inside the car. I just want you to touch on those three topics. Thank you.
What kind of car do you have?
Gone.
Okay. Three very good questions. First place, the cell phones, if it's completely off, if it's not on receive, it should be okay. But don't leave it just in its receive mode, because then it is transmitting a little bit due to the oscillator in the receiving circuit. Inadvertently transmitting some EMFs, and then it would be okay to have it a few feet from you, but not to be worn on your person in receive mode. But completely off, it should be completely off. Wireless routers, I think, are a bad idea. Yes, it could affect your sleep, very much so. It's a transmitter is what it's doing. It's not making inadvertent EMFs. It's transmitting them on purpose and causing transmission back and forth between the computer and the router. I would use the Ethernet cable, a hardwired cable, and not use any wireless at all. No wireless AirPort in a Mac, no wireless Bluetooth, no wireless Wi-Fi or routers. And the third question about cars, that is a problem. That's another area where car manufacturers are doing two things. I mean, they're making cars without regard for mileage. Why should they even consider EMFs? Or toxicity of the interior materials, which they're now starting to look at. But the EMFs, I don't think they're looking at all yet. And there's some things you'll be measuring with a Gauss meter and some things you won't pick up with a Gauss meter that you'd be better off using the AM radio that I will write about on my website today.
Okay. Just to clarify on one thing, I did speak with a Toyota representative because on the hybrids, you have the battery. And,
oh, my gosh, yes.
Yeah, and you have EMFs. And he said they were aware of that and had done some shielding for it, but I guess you can't shield
100%. Oh, good. I've been curious to get some measurements. I don't want to go close to one myself when it's on. But those things potentially, unfortunately, all the hybrids, which are a wonderful idea, the techie in me loves them for energy efficiency, but it's a horrendous situation for EMFs, and they cannot adequately shield those because the type of power supply regulation they need for running those motors and charging the batteries and so forth is going to generate horrendous EMFs in switching power supplies, even with shielding. I don't think they can get it down. It's going to be a very difficult problem for them, but I'm glad they're aware of it. In general, cars, you just have to try them. Some people there are certain cars that are worse than others, certain models, and some of them will be a high-frequency problem from the computers under the dashboard. Some will be a low-frequency problem from the alternators and from fans, the air conditioning blower, when you turn it on, if it's right next to your leg. These are for people that are sensitive to them. I know someone that bought a truck and had to sell it right away because it was making his legs hurt too much. It's crapshoot. You just have to try them and try as many measurements as you can first. Also, some cars have a cell phone built in underneath them as an automatic locator in case they're stolen, that people might want to disable.
Okay. I'll mention one other thing regarding the wireless routers, too. I had always had a cable hookup, but Michael Horowitz, who is our website guru or whatever, he helps me with my computer problems, he pointed out that on my laptop you could see the little tower lit up, and he disabled that. He said that's like the other side of the coin, I guess, in getting rid of the wireless.
Yeah, you make sure on your laptop itself or whatever computer you have, you turn off, you disable the Bluetooth and you disable the Wi-Fi.
Okay.
One other thing about cars, a number of people with electrical sensitivities have only been able to drive by buying a very old diesel, like a Mercedes diesel, before they went for the electronic fuel injection. And they disconnect the alternator while they're running, and they just charge up the battery at night in the garage. Then that way they have zero EMF, pretty much, at least not from the engine, in the old diesels.
Mm. Okay. Are there any new cars that are headed in that direction?
Probably not.
Yeah. Interesting. Yeah. Okay. Do we have another caller?
Hello.
Hello, your name and where you're from, please.
Yeah, my name is Mark. I'm calling you from Ringwood, New Jersey.
Welcome, Mark.
Hi. Does the medical profession, does the government, does disease control, do they keep track of people who have used cell phones and wind up with tumors in their ear canal and strokes leading to blindness? Does the government keep track of any of this? Do doctors ask the people that are suffering with these afflictions that use cell phones? Is there a survey?
There are people doing it. Sure, there are a number of studies that have been done and that are ongoing. I don't think our government is involved in it because there's probably too much lobbying by the cell phone companies. For example, until recently, even cities were not allowed to regulate where cell phone towers went. They were prohibited from having a say in that, and recently a court overturned that. But those studies are mostly being done in Europe because they're more open environmentally, and they are doing epidemiological large-scale studies. And there's a report that is going to be coming out soon in Europe on electromagnetics, and it'll include studies of cell phones. And the preliminary report on that report looks like there are definitely some pretty bad effects, things like doubling of brain tumors for people who have used cell phones for more than 10 years.
Yeah, it's really frightening because these were vibrant, they weren't elderly. I mean, they're people in their 40s.
Mm-hmm.
And
are you talking about some people you know?
Yeah. And, they were heavy cell phone users, and nobody bothered to ask them.
Well, of course not. What do we expect from the medical profession doesn't take these things on to themselves normally, unless they're forced to.
Well, maybe we have another project for Dr. Ali on WBAI.
Maybe. Mark, one of the commentaries I read on a European Union study said that the tumors, at this point the research had noted benign tumors of various areas in the head, were showing up at the 10-year mark, and with the cigarettes, it was the 20-year mark. So it wasn't, possibly a good sign.
I think it's going to all come out soon, but not soon enough. eventually it'll be very convincing.
It's just devastating for them and their families, because these are vibrant young people that you know, we're small business people. They're on these cell phones all the time.
We can only tell based on statistics, because this does happen to people without cell phones, before cell phones, but the fact that the rate is increasing, and on the side that they use the phone, and in proportion to how long cell phones were used, I don't think we're going to get much research on that in this country at all, because industry has such a strong hand in keeping those things quiet.
Well, if Dr. Ali is listening in, do what you can, doctor. Take care.
In his free time. Right. Okay. Thank you, Mark, for that call. Yeah, I had Richard Slesson on, Louis Slesson, editor of Microwave News, where you can read about these studies, incidentally, microwavenews.com. And he was saying that the most important thing for people that need to use cell phones is to use a hands-free device, either
an speakerphone
or
speakerphone. The speakerphone is even better, because a headset does conduct some of the emissions back to you.
Okay.
Although it's better than holding it to your head,
mm-hmm.
but it's best to have it placed a few feet away on speakerphone.
Okay, thank you. Good. All right. Another.
And minimizing its use. And cordless phones in the house are almost as bad nowadays, because they're built similarly to cell phones. They're a little less amplitude of the emissions, but they're also not a good idea. And they should be limited. It's really best to limit their use only to picking up a call when you're in the bathroom and then running and switching to a landline.
Okay. Good information. All right. You're on WBAI with Richard Conrad. Your name, please.
Hi. My name is Jerry.
Okay. Welcome, Jerry. Jerry.
Hi. What a mind-blowing show. It just feels like almost anything you would choose to do that is involved in our modern society carries all sorts of questionable consequences that one has to be aware of. It makes me feel like the Amish really know what they're doing. But I had a couple questions about the you were talking about, and I've been in and out doing things here. I hope I'm not asking a question that's been asked, but about these compact fluorescent full spectrum lights. And I got a few of them because I read about them on the Mercola site and about the effect it can have on your sense of well-being and your concentration if you're indoors, and you know, the effect of incandescent.
Yes. What did you think of them when you turned them on?
I've liked them because I liked the color of light. At first, it seems like it's dimmer, and then after a minute, it seems like a more natural outdoor light. I mean,
any problems to the eye?
I haven't sensed any that I feel is related to these.
Well, some of them don't have much flicker, and others do, and it's not controlled. But they all have tremendous EMF, and if you're not sensitive to EMF, it won't affect you, at least not for years. But overall, it's not a good idea long term.
Right. Well, my question is now, according to what I've read, the only way to really make a real full spectrum light is with a fluorescent. That you can't really make a full spectrum incandescent or anything else. But I mean,
they do.
There,
yes, it's less. They do have them, but they're less efficient.
They're less dangerous in terms of the EMFs to do it that way, or an LI.
A normal tungsten light bulb is not dangerous at all in terms of EMF.
And what about an LED? Are there LEDs that are more full spectrum?
Absolutely. They're also go the other way into a spectrum that's sort of annoying if you get the cool white. But that could give you a balanced spectrum if they design it that way. But unfortunately, most of those are going to be pulsed, although you could build one yourself that wasn't.
Wow, okay. Yeah. And is there anything anybody can do? Like if you're, my daughter, she works in a profession where, you know, she's just in a, you know, place where there's just loads of computers. I mean, interior design, it's just working with computers all the time. Is there anything you can do to sort of deflect or defend your body? I mean, like wearing... medical magnets are on you? Or
I'm glad you mentioned that, because I did want to mention something.
Okay, we have about 1 minute, Richard.
There's a tremendous number of products out there with a lot of supposed research backing them up on the Internet, and I think it's all bogus as far as pendants, neutralizers, diodes, and chips that neutralize or protect you from EMFs, magnetic fields, and I think that they're all elaborate scams.
Okay.
I really do.
There's
also zero radiation computer monitors advertised, and there's no such thing.
Okay.
There's a lot of charlatans out there.
Okay, obviously, we need to have you back, Richard Conrad. Give us your website again, please.
It's conradbiologic.com.
Okay, Richard serves as a consultant over the phone. Don't call him early in the morning. He's in Hawaii. And welcome. We'll see you in a couple of weeks at Create Your Healthy Home. Happy Thanksgiving to one and all. And thank you, Errol. If you need to reach me, it's May, M-A-Y, at createyourhealthyhome.com. And we'll see you soon. Thanks again to Richard Conrad.
Okay, this is the end of my sojourn with you here. I'll be back tomorrow morning with Mimi Rosenberg on Wake Up Call. And we will continue here on WBAI, bringing you kind of programming that is so sorely needed. Michael G. Askins coming in a moment, but right now, along with Dr. Majid Ali, but right now, the Community Bulletin Board has promised.
The following is a list of events from the WBAI Community Bulletin Board.
Liberate your inner shopaholic from the excesses of holiday consumption and boogie down instead. Since 1997, the day after Thanksgiving has been Buy Nothing Day. Join Reverend Billy in the Church of Stop Shopping for a free dance party on Friday, November 28th at 3 p.m. in Union Square in Manhattan, and receive a special blessing, or exorcism, from the Rev for a debt-free Christmas. Music makers and holiday costumes are encouraged, and all ages are welcome. For more information, call 917-825-3562. That's 917-825-3562.
Take the black out of Black Friday. The December 12th movement urges no shopping on Black Friday. The day after Thanksgiving, November 28th, which is normally the biggest holiday shopping day of the year. For more information, call 718-398-1766. That's 718-398-1766.
You're invited to a showing of The Punks Are All Right, a film that documents the punk rock visionaries of the Third World whose passion, dedication, and ethics are changing the world. Filmmaker Douglas Crawford will be present for the screening and discussion. It's happening on Sunday, November 30th at 7 p.m. at Blue Stockings, located at 172 Allen Street at Stanton Street in Manhattan. There's a low suggested admission fee. For more information about this and many other events at Blue Stockings, call 212-777-6028. That's 212-777-6028, or check the web at www.bluestockings.com.
Everyone needs to prepare for winter, including the animals. Discover how different species ready themselves for winter through hands-on activities for the whole family at Home for the Winter, a free event that's taking place on Friday, November 28th from 12 to 5 p.m. at the Prospect Park Audubon Center, located in the park near the Lincoln Road and Ocean Avenue entrance. From 1 to 4 p.m., kids can learn how to make candles, start a patchwork quilt, and preserve food for the coming months at Winter on a Flatbush Farm at the Lefferts Historic House, located inside the park's Willink entrance at the intersection of Flatbush Avenue and Empire Boulevard. For more information, call 718-965-8999. That's 718-965-8999, or visit www.prospectpark.org.
On 3 days in November and December, Venerable Kempo Carter Rinpoche will present an introduction to the Buddhist path, aims, benefits, and ethics, along with basic meditation techniques, including breathing and calm abiding meditation. The teachings, which will last 1 hour and be followed by a meditation, will take place on Sunday, November 30th at 3 p.m., as well as Wednesday, December 3rd and Wednesday, December 10th at 6:30 p.m. at the Jacques Marché Museum of Tibetan Art, located at 338 Lighthouse Avenue on Staten Island. There is a small admission fee. For more information, call 718-987-3500. That's 718-987-3500. Or visit www.tibetanmuseum.org.
This has been a list of events from the WBAI Community Bulletin Board.
Let us know what's going on in your community. You can send an email to cbb@wbai.org. That's cbb@wbai.org.
You can fax us at 212-747-1698. That's 212-747-1698.
Or write to us at WBAI, 120 Wall Street, 10th floor, New York, New York, 10005. Whichever way you get in touch with us, be sure to include a contact.
Please remember that this program is supported by the listener members of WBAI New York. If you like what you hear, please consider becoming a member of WBAI or renewing if you've already joined. Basic membership is $25, but we accept any amount. Help us keep free speech alive.